Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We continue with our series entitled See His Cross. Our text this morning is from Luke chapter 23. As they led him away, they seized Simon from Cyrene, who was on his way in from the country, and put the cross on him and made him carry it behind Jesus. A large number of people followed him, including women who mourned and wailed for him. Jesus turned and said to them, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children. For the time will come when you will say, 'Blessed are the barren women, the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if men do these things when the tree is green, what will happen when it is dry?" In the name of Jesus, our Savior from sin and death, fellow redeemed, see his cross. Who can miss it? It's right there, front and center, on the shoulder of Jesus as he's led out from the presence of Pilate on the way of tears to Calvary's cross, carrying part of it, the cross beam. Simon of Cyrene sees it and is soon carrying it himself after Jesus. The soldiers, they were familiar with it. They had seen to it that it was placed on Jesus' shoulder from the time the gruesome procession had left the judgment seat of Pilate. People along the way stopped like people do today when there's an accident. They slow down. They gawk, drawn to the brutal spectacle in this case. And those women who followed Jesus crying, they saw the heavy chunk of wood he would be nailed to. They knew the crossbeam of a Roman cross when they saw one. They knew what it meant. Or did they? Did they see it clearly through their tears? See what Jesus was doing that day? What he was making of that cross, that instrument of torture and death, right before their eyes? And what about us? Is this just history? A historical event? Another case of Roman injustice? Or is this just another Bible story? A great prophet, a great teacher, rejected, as so many of them were. Is this simply another case of human inhumanity? A terrible tragedy to bring forth sympathy and tears. Martin Luther once said that if that's what we got out of studying the suffering and death of Jesus, we were missing the point. If we just felt sorry for him, then we weren't looking where we should be looking. Because these things should cause us to look within, to see our own hearts, our own sins for which he is suffering, and our own forgiveness for which he died. So to see the cross clearly, we need to look at our own hearts and lives. That's what Jesus urged those women to do. That's what his words urge us to do as well. Do not weep for me. On the face of it, surprising words from Jesus. He is, after all, a tragic figure. Nobody knows better than he how innocent he is. And so you have an innocent man, beaten and bloody, being driven to torture and death. His enemies knew he was innocent. They had to hire liars to try to build a case against him. Pilate interviewed him, concluded the same. None of those charges made any sense. Yet, Pilate had Jesus scourged, had his flesh ripped with pieces of metal in a leather whip. Why? Perhaps the Jews would feel sorry for him then. But all that was accomplished was Jesus' humiliation before that angry mob. There was no sympathy to be found there. And so Pilate issued the orders for his crucifixion. The soldiers make him a crown, like a king should have, a wreath of thorns. And having put it on his head, then they give him a stick for a scepter. But then they take the stick and beat on his crown until he bleeds. They give him a faded soldier's robe. It's his royal garment. What a tragic figure. And this certainly is a human tragedy of huge proportions. It's a story of betrayal, suffering, injustice. A story, maybe it was reported in the news today on television, it would be one that tugged at our heartstrings, stirred emotions. And yet Jesus tells the women, "Do not weep for me." Why not? Why not weep for Jesus? This is a human tragedy. Jesus is human, like these women, like all of us. He endured pain. He bled like anyone else. He was abandoned by his closest friends, and it stung him, as it would any human being. His own countrymen screamed again and again, "Crucify, crucify." He looks like a helpless human in the grip of powerful forces beyond his control. Yes, he is, like us. And that is why we should not weep at this tragic event. Jesus is like us. He has flesh and blood as we have, because he is our substitute. This he chose, to be one of us for this purpose. Our bodies would bleed at brutal treatment, like that which the soldiers gave Jesus. His body was no different. He is fully human. And he is there in our place. As we hear Jesus tell the women not to weep, we are encouraged then to wipe our tears too. Shed no tears for Jesus. Instead, see his cross as the payment for your sins. He became human so that he could take our place, so that he could be our substitute. Jesus became sin. Your sin, my sin. So we might be declared free of sin and acquitted before God's justice. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul writes by inspiration. "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Made to be sin. So the really terrible thing was not the injustice of Jesus' enemies, but the justice of God that fell upon him, because he became for us the worst of sinners, so thoroughly sinful with our sins that he is simply called sin, made to be sin for us through and through. Many hands were raised to wound him. None would interpose to save, but the deepest stroke that pierced him was the stroke that justice gave. He was truly there in our place. Jesus left Jerusalem surrounded by Roman soldiers. Simon of Cyrene carried the instrument of our Savior's torture and death. Tragic. Yet we shed no tears for Jesus. He asks us not to. But we cannot be unmoved by what we see, because Jesus suffered for us. He was your human substitute and mine. The Son of God loved you and gave himself for you. He was beaten, scourged, humiliated, and ridiculed for us. It was our punishment that he endured. It came this great punishment. In the Father's rejection of His own Son, because Jesus was held guilty for our sins. And so our hearts are moved. Moved with reverence for a Savior who loves us so much. We are moved to gratitude that He took our place and suffered what we deserved, hell itself. In His cross and all the suffering of His passion, especially in the guilt that crushed His heart, our guilt, here we see how wide and long, how deep and high is the love of Christ for unworthy sinners like us. Jesus told those women, "Do not weep for me, weep for yourselves and for your children." Jesus wanted those women to take what they saw personally, not with some kind of superficial sympathy, but He wanted them to look at themselves and what lay ahead for them and for their children, and why. The rejection of the Son of God by the Jewish people as a nation would bring terrible judgment on them. And Jesus saw that destruction that lay ahead for Jerusalem. Once, as He and His disciples left the holy city, the disciples looked back at the city and marveled at the beauty of the temple. And Jesus told them, "As for what you see now, here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." And now Jesus says to these women weeping for Him that even the joy of having children would evaporate in that day in the judgment of God on their unbelief. He said that in God's judgment, women would consider those who had no children blessed. The reason for tears is not the tragic story of Jesus, but the tragic story of every human being who stands outside God's grace. Every human heart that does not see the cross of Christ and embrace it in faith. There is true tragedy, eternal tragedy. Had these women rejected Jesus as their Savior? Actually, it seems unlikely, given where they are and what they are doing. But they needed to look at their personal relationship with Jesus, just as we need to. They needed to see their own sins and know that death awaited them as a result. And we need to do the same. We need to shift our gaze from His cross to our hearts so we see our sins clearly and how serious they are. What did we sing? "You who think of sin but lightly, nor suppose the evil great, here may view its nature rightly, here its guilt may estimate. Mark the sacrifice appointed." This is what it took to wipe out the record of your guilt. "See who bears the awful load. 'Tis the Lord. The Lord, it is the Word, the Lord's anointed, Son of Man and Son of God." Whether those women were in Jerusalem when it was destroyed by Roman armies or not, death was on its way to collect them and to collect their children. And it came as a judgment of God on sin every time it took one of them, every time death takes one of us. It is clear, one of the clearest scriptures there is anywhere, the wages of sin is death. We are not exceptions to that rule. We are sinners. The great human tragedy is that we cannot change that fact. No matter how good we might strive to be, no matter what monuments they might build to laud our lives of service, it doesn't change the fact that we are sinners on the way to the grave. And our children inherit the same dysfunction, the same sin and sinfulness from us. Although most of us live each day as though our life here will not end, human life and its end call for sober reflection, even tears, where we are finally the helpless victims, as in Jesus, We're the ones trapped in the prison of sin and death. But our human tragedy is not without hope. We began this morning by singing of His resurrection, of His victory over death and sin, over Satan and hell. So Jesus urges us to truly see His cross and dry our tears, to go away from His cross and at our own end to see our sin for the horror of it and then look back to His cross, not with sorrowing sympathy, but with reverence and gratitude, the gratitude of a heart made new by the message of Jesus' victory for us. We see Christ's cross clearly when we never forget that He took our place there, a real human substitute who there satisfied God's justice. You, as a result, are forgiven, declared righteous. The journey of your life, then, no matter how many dark valleys you experience, is not one that will dead end in the judgment of God, but in the Father's house we will arrive to live forever. See the cross for what it is, the full payment for all your sins. Just as the wages of sin's death, so the gift of God is eternal life. And here, in the cross, that gift is paid for, once and for all, for every one of us. Shed no tears for Jesus. Soberly consider your own sin guilt and then cling to Jesus as your Redeemer. See His cross and say with heartfelt conviction, "The Son of God loved me and gave Himself for me." Here we have a firm foundation. Here the refuge of the lost. Christ, the rock of our salvation, is the name of which we boast. Lamb of God, for sinners wounded, sacrificed to cancel guilt. None shall ever be confounded who on Him their hope have built. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard and keep your hearts and thoughts in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting.